shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Dan Long. When they brought me on about 4 years ago, they said, so one thing I want to do is get Johnny Polonsky and his band in the studio here in WGN.
All right.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And your whole crew. I know of you, but I've never interviewed you. I've never talked to you.
Here it is.
But you have a record release party on November 28th at the Ginger Man Tavern, 3740 North Clark.
Yeah, this Wednesday, just by the Metro.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's unreleased demos and rarities, 1966 to 2018.
1996.
Did I say, yeah, 1996, 2018. Yeah. So tell me what's on this, and let's walk backwards. But
Well, they're not going to see us walk backwards.
Yeah.
It's radio.
Yep.
It's a bunch of songs that never made it onto any of the records. Like, some of the songs are from the very first record. Some are from the very most recent one that I put out. And everything in between, and it's just songs that are, some are home demos, some are just outtakes from other records.
How did you curate this? I mean, how much material did you have to...
I've still got a ton that's unreleased. It's just, I don't know, I just wanted to make something that sounded like a real record that felt like not just a cobbled together compilation of songs from, you know, the last 40 years, but just like, to me it works like a proper record. And that was the most important thing, is just like, you know, make it enjoyable to listen to. But I don't know, it's just like all these songs that didn't really have a place in the other records that sound kind of cool on this one to me.
About how many songs did you go through?
It's 18 tracks on the LP, and it's 3 extra songs on the CD.
And how much did you choose from?
Oh, God. I mean, there's like so many. There's still a ton left.
Yeah.
It's probably like 50 or 100 or something like that, you know.
And
various states of undress.
And will you have the band with you at G-Man?
Oh, yeah.
My
brother Dan Polonsky on the bass and Jason Batchko on the drums. Jason's also doing an opening set on Wednesday night. Yeah.
And it's, I have on my notes, it's a $6 cover with $1 going to the Lakeview Pantry.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. You're going to play some songs in a little bit, but how did it, when you went back and looked at the stuff in the late 90s, 96, 97, up to 2000, did you look at them any differently now?
I mean, I don't know. They're all just like songs that are, you know, files in my iTunes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, I've got different memories about all these different songs and periods, obviously, but like, I just tried to make a record that just felt good and sounded cool. And tried to draw from as many different periods as possible, you know.
Yeah. Tell the listeners, especially those who don't know much about you, a little bit about your background. You grew up in Wilmette. You were born?
Born in Chicago. Yeah. Moved to Wilmette. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time. Right. I just moved to New York about 8 months ago.
What brought the move to New York on?
I was just bored.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in L.A. for like 15 years, and I was tired of it, as bizarre as it sounds, of it being 80 degrees and sunny all the time.
Yeah.
I missed the seasons. I haven't been back in Chicago in about 4 years, so it's really great being back. You know, I've got memories on like every corner, so it's really nice just to come home and, you know, see my brother and see my friends. And it's been a long time. I haven't played a show in a long time here. What was the question?
What memories do you have? I mean, off the top of your head, like
Chicago?
Yeah, like memories
just
on every
drunk
corner
and chasing girls and, you know,
yeah,
going to shows,
yeah,
seeing Keith Richards at the Aragon,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I used to sneak into the Aragon and the you know, the Riviera or whatever. Like I would be like 14 years old and dress all in black and try to pose as security and go watch, you know, band sound checks. And I remember I went to the Riviera for Sonic Youth's show for the Dirty Tour in like early 90s. I got backstage for the sound check after the sound check, and I went up to Thurston Moore and asked him if he could put me on the list. He's like, "Why? You're already here." I was like, "Well, I got to go home and have dinner with my mom." So he put me on the list. I came back, and he's a solid individual.
Growing up, what'd you listen to? Did you listen to radio? Was there music around the house?
Yeah, it was music around the house. Just my parents' record collection, like, you know, the Beatles, Red and Blue, yeah. Greatest Hits records. That was it, really. Them and the Monkees and MTV, really. I was like 8 or 9 when MTV really hit. So I just sat around for like 6 or 8 hours a day just watching MTV and, you know, watching Good Times and, you know, Facts of Life and just like learning all the theme songs. Those are great theme songs, you know, Jeffersons.
Yeah, yeah.
And some radio later, like a lot of classic rock radio, WCKG. You know, The Loop early on.
Chicago had a strong rock radio scene then.
Yeah. Just like great Midwestern rock radio and oldies radio.
What was it that...
Biondi.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
Greg Brown.
What was it that made you want to get into music? Was it something...
I just had to do it. You know, I just wanted to do it. Like, I just loved the record so much. My fourth grade teacher, Mr. Jack Spangenberger, he would every Friday afternoon he would whip out his guitar and play his John Denver tunes and, you know, folk songs, stuff like that. And, you know,
what school was that?
And I just really loved it. And I wanted to play guitar, but my hands were too small, so my parents got me a baritone ukulele, which is basically the top four strings of a guitar. And that's all I did. I didn't really buy records either. I would go buy sheet music, and so I could learn how to play the songs, you know, like Don't Pay the Ferryman, you know, like whatever, you know, like all the Duran Duran hits and stuff like that, Stray Cats, whatever was just like top 40 radio and MTV, Monkees. But that's what I just wanted, you know, I just love that music so much. I just wanted to be a part of it and just like learn how to do it myself.
So you were kind of, I don't know. And were you kind of DIY before DIY? I mean, talk about like your first record in 96 and those stories. You know.
I mean, I used to make tapes.
Yeah,
like,
right. You
know, I had like a 4-track cassette recorder growing up and I would make these tapes. I had a friend who worked at Acme Music, a tape duping place.
Yeah.
And he would go in after hours and steal a bunch of tapes and dupe my records for free. And I'd go to Kinko's and make up artwork and hand out those cassettes. And I was just doing it because, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like it was like a fun art project or whatever. Just trying to entertain myself and my friends or whatever. And it became a good excuse to be able to bug, you know, people I admired. And I didn't view it like networking. It was, you know, I was like 18 or whatever. I just thought it was like a great excuse just to meet, to go up to Kim Deal or whatever, whoever, you know, and just like give him a tape. Cause, plus, like this stuff was, I mean, it's musical, but it was really funny. Like I didn't know if it was good, but I knew it was funny. So I felt like, you know, and the cover art was like pretty whacked, and you know, I felt pretty confident going up to them and giving them something that's funny. You know what I mean? Like I don't know, I wouldn't back then. I wouldn't have been that comfortable being like, here, listen to the song, but like, here's the stuff that I know is going to make you laugh. So that's you know, that's how I started doing it.
Was there stuff like, I mean, stuff I've read is like, did you like actually just go through the phone book and try to track people down? And,
no,
or
I used
did you go to shows and stuff or what?
Yeah, yeah. I used, I mean, this is like back in the days of, you know, yonder year of house phones and 411, you know, directory assistance or whatever. So I would just call up, you know, I found Kurt Cobain, you know, before they got massive, like in LA, you know, hung up on me.
Did he really?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's
did you call him back?
I'm still waiting for a call. But that's how I met Reeves Gabrels. He played guitar in Tin Machine, the band I really loved.
Oh, yeah.
Later with David Bowie. And I just called him because I just had 1,000 questions. Like, now he's a pretty revered guitar player. Back then, he was kind of more obscure. But I really loved his playing, and I just wanted to ask him a bunch of stuff. And, you know, he'd talk to him all the time, and, like, he would, you know, humor me. And you know, I wasn't trying to make it like a mentor situation, but I think in retrospect it was definitely like that. It's like reaching out to older, more experienced players and musicians. And you know, and he introduced me to Frank Black.
Yeah.
Who at the time was, I mean, I still love the Pixies forever, but like especially when I was like 19, like forget it, like that was it, you know. And he introduced me to Frank Black. He just quit the Pixies, and you know, he ended up producing a demo, getting me hooked me up with his manager and took me on tour, got me signed to help me get signed to American, that record label.
Yeah, right. Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with a live song.
Right.
Okay? Thanks, you guys, for all coming in, man. Really like it. So we'll be back after more on Nocturnal Journal. Nocturnal Journal. We're working out those technical problems. So what track was that, Johnny, that we heard from the CD?
That song is called Two Dimes. Yep. I wrote that for my brother who's playing bass tonight when I thought he was going to die about 20 years ago. But he's not dead, as he's proving right now by playing this set, which you would have heard if we didn't have the technical bugs.
Yeah.
But all his technical bugs are gone, but the song remains.
So what happened? Can I ask?
I don't know. I think it was botulism or animal husbandry or something.
My humor is out of whack.
Yeah. The black humors.
And so how long ago did you write that?
That was 1997.
1997.
Around about somewhere about there.
So before the break, before the song, we were kind of... I want to talk about the debut record. Hi, my name is Johnny. How did that come about? We were kind of talking about the DIY stuff. So did you give this... Go ahead. Tell us.
Yeah. I made a demo with Frank Black.
Yeah.
In that was in the summer or spring of 1994 in Los Angeles, next door to Ronnie James Dio's ex-wife's house in the valley where things are green. And so we made a demo, got signed to American. I remember having a meal with Rick Rubin. He said, what you want to do? I said, I don't know, what you want to do? goes, I'll ask you first. I go, I want to make the record on my own. He goes, okay. So I just went back to my mom's house in Wilmette. Dan, the aforementioned almost deceased Dan, he'd moved he'd moved out. I moved into his room with a bunch of recording gear, made the record, and it came out and went on tour with Frank Black, went on Lollapalooza, you know, la-di-da, MTV, Rolling Stone. What was the question again? What happened?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to get a little bit of the history of the
record.
Yeah,
you know, it was a really fun time. You know, it was a long time ago.
So, what happened next? It took a while for a second record.
I just bummed around Chicago, and I sort of imploded. I was really young. I was like 21 when I got signed, and I don't know. I was just hardwired to self-destruct, to paraphrase Metallica, for my, you know, just for success or whatever, which is probably good because I probably would have died back then. I like to drink a lot. I don't really drink anymore. You were asking me about memories of Chicago.
Yeah.
I remember drinking a lot. I used to drive on the sidewalks. That was fun.
Now
I drive in the streets. Well, I have my brother drive me around. He's pre-disastered. He's feeling better now.
So was it 8 years to the next record?
There was an EP that came out in 2001. I'd recorded a bunch, and I didn't release anything. And I was, just working bad jobs and just playing different bands. And I just felt really lost for a long time. And I released a record in 2004. The Power of Sound that came out on some indie label out of the Northwest. And by that point, I'd already moved to LA. And I'd started getting into doing session work. I'd reconnect with Rick Rubin and started playing on a bunch of his records. Played on the last song Johnny Cash ever wrote. That was cool.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
We got to take a break for the news. And we're going to try to straighten some of the sound stuff out.
Kent Brockman.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Lost in the illusion of the weak. All alone in your confusion. When you find it so hard to speak. Just look around.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We have Johnny Polonsky and his band in the studio. They are going to be doing a record release show on November 28th at the Ginger Man Tavern, 3740 North Clark Street, for unreleased demos and rarities 1996 to 2018 on Detroit's Jet Plastic Recordings.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing everybody in. Talk about the song you're going to play now.
This song is called The Same Song, and it was written in Los Angeles, but it's really a Chicago song. It's about being in Chicago and just, you know, drinking, carousing, etc., things that happen.
Okay.
You know.
Alrighty.
All right.
Same
song. Like this. We sing the same song. It's the same song. We sing the same song. It's the same song. We can you feel the strain? Tell me what's your name? In the end, we won't remember anyway. I like your sense of style. Say it's for a while. Yeah, because now it really doesn't matter, darling, who you are tonight. We sing the same. Around before we hit the ground,
before the morning comes, it shows exactly your face. My memory's erased of all thought, but it really doesn't matter, darling, who you are tonight, 'cause in the
well, that's you didn't have to do that just for radio. He kind of like, what'd you do there, John? He kind of made love to the speaker. I don't know what you did. Well, that was fun.
I love
Lucy. Are you okay?
Oh yeah.
So that's a little bit what people will be hearing at the Ginger Man and scene, right?
See that, folks.
Hey,
come to the Ginger Man.
Hey, Dan. Yeah. Dan, can you get on the mic with your brother?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah. So has he always had this much energy?
This mic. Oh, no. This you're mic? Talking yeah. to nothing.
No, he's never really done anything like this before. We're all a little surprised. Especially our mom, God rest her.
Yeah, yeah.
He's listening in.
He's listening from above.
What'd your parents do?
Oh, our dad was a chemist, and he was also a financial analyst, but he's a big music fan. He was always playing jazz and stuff like that, and so that was kind of a neat exposure. And our mom was a musician. She was a singer.
She was?
Like, yeah, she toured in like a choir and made a record in Israel.
Really?
Yeah, and play a lot of folk music, so she was pretty excited when we were playing.
Are you okay, Johnny? Breathing heavy?
Yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really supportive. She came out to see shows all the time, and she had a great time. Came out to rock clubs, didn't mind that she was 60 and everyone else wasn't. So,
like, what clubs would she go to?
Wherever we played.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Did you have was there a club here in Chicago that was like your home base?
Double door.
Yeah.
Soul.
Double door.
Yeah. And yeah. Wrigley Field, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The double door was great.
Yeah.
We love the Metro.
Lounge Axe was awesome.
Yeah. God rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
So, Johnny, you were talking about when you'd get these cassettes and stuff to people. What I'm going at with that question is, what advice would you give someone who was in your shoes back then if someone came to you today?
It's such a different world.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, just do what you want to do and make music that you want to hear, and don't, you know, listen to any, you know, I mean, there's pressure on everybody to, you know, fit in one way or another, but just make things that I just try to make music that I don't hear out in the world, and I wish it were in existence, so I make it happen, you know, I mean, typically. And it's like an intuitive thing too. You can't overthink things. Just do stuff that's supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? Just do what you really want to do, and don't care if it's in fashion or not, and or if you're going to make money from it or not. and just do what you love to do, and it should be, you know, easy. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like it's exertion, and it's, you know, and takes effort, but like it shouldn't feel like it. You know what I mean? Like when you love your job, it's like it doesn't feel like work, even if you've worked like 18 hours or whatever. It's just, you know, just do something that you want to do.
You talked a lot about the fun of it. I mean, is there still fun in for you?
No.
Yeah. It's like,
I mean, that was looked like fun, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be doing, I'm 45, you know, I wouldn't be still be doing it if I weren't so heavily sedated, you know, if it weren't fun, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't really, there's no, not like there's any returns other than like the joy of doing it and being with people you like playing music with and hanging out with.
Parking validation,
you know.
I mean, but in the music, some of the newer music you're hearing, you got pop hooks and stuff. Did you still hear that stuff?
Like you fun mean, in other bands?
Yeah, or younger bands.
I don't really care about pop hooks. I just like, I like anything good. I love Surfboards. I think they're really great.
Uh-huh.
They're a Brooklyn band. I really like their record a lot. I love, I think Daughters is really cool. I think they've got a great record. It's really strange, and it's sort of like a, almost like Suicide with the Jesus Lizard or something like that. Gosh, what else is there? There's a lot of cool new music. I love 10 Tricks Point Never. Those aren't songs at all, but like I just like things that move me. Like, you know, I mean, I tend to write like melodic songs. You know, I grew up on like Neil Young and John Lennon and Tom Petty, but I like, you know, I like all sorts of music. There's all sorts of good stuff out there. I don't really know too much about Chicago bands these days. I really like Ezra Furman a lot. He's from Evanston.
Uh-huh.
He's all over the place now. I think he's really good. There's always good new music. Sometimes you got to search a little harder than others, you know.
What else do you have coming up after the Ginger Man?
Just going home.
Really? Well, to New York now.
No, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a two-city Midwest tour.
Yeah.
Played Detroit last night.
What was Detroit like?
Oh, I found a really cheap breakfast. That was nice. It was cool. Detroit's interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
And where'd you play?
I've been back in a while. I ran into a couple old friends from here, actually, that live there. Now, I played PJ Harvey's Lager House or something like that. Some little bar. But it was cool. I honestly like to play anywhere, really. Like, some places are more, you know, stimulating than others. But I'm just glad to be out and playing in front of people, you know. I've certainly done my share of like just playing to the sound man and his dog, and the dog's got a. Everyone's a critic, you know.
Are you gonna? Do you have any new recording projects planned?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of making another new record. I mean, this stuff is like, you know, this new record that's coming out or that came out. These are all obviously previously released or previously recorded songs, but I'm like halfway through making a new record that hopefully will come out in 2019. You know, so I'm just working away and writing and doing stuff.
And what's the how's the distribution for the new products? How does that work compared to when you started?
Oh, such a great experience with Rick Rubin. It was just like an absolute storybook romance kind of experience. And I have not a single negative thing to say about him on any level, because it was just so much. It was just so easy, and he just like gave me money and support and time to do what I want to do. And all the indie labels I've ever been on have been a nightmare, increasingly more and more so, and none more so than this wet plastic, you know, records that we're on right now. But that's okay. It's good to have, you know, have the stuff out, and we do what we can, you know. It'll be nice when I get paid back for fronting all the money up front, even though the record company's supposed to do that, but who wants to hear about that? That's just, you know, nonsense. But no, I'm just glad to be out in the world making music, and I'll keep doing it regardless.
Well, you touched
people I work with are fools or not.
You touched on this. You kind of, I mean, things were going fine with Ruben, and you kind of just walked away. You weren't, you know.
Yeah, I was just young and impetuous, and you know, I just, you make mistakes, you know, when you're young, and you know. I mean, you make mistakes all the time, but like, you know, when you're like really young and there's a lot of money involved and ego, and you know, it was thrilling, but it was also very, I don't know, it can be like kind of discombobulating. like, you know, growing up watching MTV and then seeing yourself on MTV, it can really like make you a little loopy or whatever if you don't have your head on straight. And I just didn't in a lot of ways back then, but whatever, you know, I was a kid. I was 21, 22, you know. I'm a musician, like I play music, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're playing to, you know, 5 people or 5,000 or whatever, and like obviously you want as many people to hear what you're doing as possible. And everyone wants to get paid. Everyone wants to feel appreciated. You know, you just like do it. You know, you just do it regardless. You know, it's a calling. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Before the news, you were talking about Cash's last session. What was that like?
Oh, you know, he wasn't around. I mean, he was dead by that point. But all he had, like, there was like 50 or 60 songs. I think 60 songs. And it was amazing still. Like, Rick Rubin had the studio in the basement of his house, and it was me and Mike Campbell and Benmont Tench from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, yeah, who were absolute heroes of mine growing up. So it was incredible just to meet them and play with them. Smokey Hormel was a great guitar player. Played with Tom Waits and Beck and the Blasters and Matt Sweeney, this great guitar player. And we just plowed through 60 songs in like 4 weeks. There's a lot of stuff that's unreleased. I remember we did a version of the Stones tune No Expectations and kind of a punked up, you know, version.
Well, I'd like
or whatever.
To hear that, yeah.
But no, it was incredible. It was super surreal hearing that voice in my headphones. You know,
kind of like this show.
Yeah.
How about that? We're going to take a break. I want you to come back with one more song.
All right.
Okay, all right. So don't go away. Cool. On Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Do you remember how breathing flows up through your neck into your head? When there's anything you need, come out to find your seed. Do you remember how reading goes? A little straight line down your spine.
Thanks, Johnny Polonsky. Tell us about that song.
That song called Do You Remember? And ironically enough, I can't remember anything about that song. It's just a song I wrote. It was supposed to be on the second American record, like 1997, something like that. It was recorded back then. I used to have a studio in Elston by the Target.
Oh, yeah.
Used to walk there and get pretzels all the time. Good pretzels. Elston, you know, it's Chicago's secret.
Yeah.
Is it still? I don't know. Maybe it's not anymore. Well, not anymore. Not on this, on the radio show, you know, talking about it. Slash the city, real nice.
So
hot knife through butter.
So you will be at the Ginger Man Tavern at what time is it? At 7:30.
7:30. Jason Batchko.
Right.
8:30. Johnny Polonsky. Wednesday night at the Ginger Man.
November 28th.
Yeah.
November 28th.
Yeah. This Wednesday.
What a story you've had.
Oh, it's still going, hopefully.
Yeah.
Ain't dead yet.
Yeah.
Working on it.
Yeah. Did you keep in touch with Ruben? Do you hear from any of these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, we email. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Has he heard this unreleased stuff?
I think I sent it to him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What, of all the people you reached out to, we've got a couple minutes left. What lessons did you learn? I mean, again, I never
first
Buckley, Jeff Buckley. I mean, did he get one year?
I played the show when I was like 19 years old, like years before, you know, this first record or whatever. I was living in Boston. I'd made friends with Mark Rebo, who's a great legendary guitar player, played with Tom Waits and all these different people. He introduced me to John Zorn, and Zorn at the time was doing these new music Jewish festivals. He asked me to play. I was living in Boston, so I, you know, came down, and Rebo put together a band. It was him on guitar and Sebastian Steinberg from Soul Coughing on bass, Sim Kane from the Rollins Band on drums, and we did a set, and apparently Jeff Buckley was in the crowd. I didn't know who he was. You know, it was like 1992. It was a couple years before Grace, but then after he died, I'd seen this interview that he did, where for some reason the interviewer asked him about me, and he'd said that he'd seen that show and had some favorable things to say. So that was like crazy flattering. That was really nice. I'm a massive fan. That was great to read.
I mean, because you've had an eclectic circle of musicians around you.
It's like the Love Boat, I'll tell you, Dave.
So I'm just wondering if anybody, any couple of them made like an imprint that you carry around today.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody did.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's incredible, like being like 19 years old and like, you know, hooking up with, you know, Frank Black or Reese Goubrels, like any of these people. You know, it's like there's so many amazing musicians and artists in the world, and to be able to work with them and learn from them, and you can't even like quantify it in certain ways. Like, you know, you just like being in someone's presence, like you just pick up on stuff and osmosis or whatever. And I don't know. One thing that's interesting, that was interesting to me, especially once I started getting into like doing the session work or whatever, like playing with people like Mike Campbell or Belmont Tench, it's like it's just so easy. Like, you don't have to talk about anything. You know what I mean? Like, people just kind of find their space and just like figure out what to play, and you just listen to each other, and that's it. Most people don't really listen, you know, but like great musicians, they listen and they respond.
Well, thanks so much for bringing the band down. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you,
Dave. It was fun. It was really, really a lot of fun. Again, it's going to be November 28th. See you guys at the Ginger Man Tavern.
Yeah.
For record release.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Dan Long, for the production. Thanks, Aubrey, for the engineering. And also thanks to Venus down there at security. She let us all in. I said Venus in blue jeans.
Yeah.
So thanks again. We'll see you soon on Nocturnal Journal. All right.